Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Anyways, let's get to the actual sermon. But it's Palm Sunday today. We're here to celebrate Jesus. I'm celebrating Jesus every day in my life. And every Sunday I get up here and we're singing songs, we're celebrating Jesus. He is the center of all things. He is meaning itself. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. So we've been singing a song here at church. We didn't sing it today, ironically, but called Better Word. And I've been obsessed with this song for quite some time. You ever just get stuck on a song, just put it on repeat? You know, just listen to it constantly. I do this all the time. I just get stuck on a song, and then my kids are like, oh, my gosh, not this song again. They're just in my car with me. I'm just like, just one more time, guys. And then I'm crying again, and then I'm like, okay, just one more time. We're just going to go one more time. I got stuck on this song because I just love the lyrics. Because I love the old hymn, you know, Nothing But the Blood. And I love the line that your blood speaks a better word. I love that line. And so when this song comes out and the bridge of it says, you're rewriting my history, you've covered me with destiny, all of a sudden I'm getting revelations and I'm just like, the blood of Christ is rewriting my history and covering me with destiny. And I sought to want to understand that. Because I know that the blood of Christ can't actually go back and change the things that have happened to me. It can't change the things that I've done. So how does it do that? But I know that it does. Like, I can't describe it to you. I just feel it. I know that it rewrites my history. So how does that happen? And so I went on this little journey, and I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of an abstract thinker, so I'm going to try really hard to like take all of my randomness up here and try to convey it to you in a way, not to say you couldn't understand, I'm just saying it's crazy up here, and I just want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. So I'm going to do my very best. We're going to go through two distinct thoughts and then bring them together at the end. The first one is just about words itself. Do I have any like people that love word games in here? Man, look at all these nerds. It's fantastic. There's only a couple apps I open every day on my phone, and one of them is the New York Times Games app. And I have to go in this order. Don't call me weird. I have to do the mini crossword, and then I play Wordle, and then I do connections, and then I do Spelling Bee in that order. I don't know why. It's just like my wake-up routine. I'm just like, I could tell when I'm not fully awake. I'm like reading something, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. What are half of these words? And then like an hour later, I'm like, oh, this was easy, you know? So it's just what I do to wake up. But I think words are fascinating. I think their definitions are fascinating. But I think what's actually really amazing about words and language is how the same word can mean two different things to two different people. And I'm not talking about the definition. We know what the definition of a word is. I'm talking about what it means to us. Words have profound meaning to us. For example, if I was just having a normal conversation with someone and I said something about my father, I said, my father this. We know what the definition of the word father is, but we don't know the emotional impact of the word father on the person we're talking to. Father can mean many different things to people. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe it's an empty thing. It can mean so much more than just what the word is defined to be. So many words are like this. I think this is profound because most of my life is communication. My job, I'm a communicator. I talk most of the time. I don't really like being like the center of attention or whatever, but I love communication. I love finding a way to say things, just like I said a minute ago, to a group of people. I like talking to like a designer who speaks a completely different language than a coder versus a project manager versus a C-level executive. You know, all of these people speak very differently. And if you try to get them in the room and you try to get them to talk to each other, there's a whole lot of miscommunication going on. Like, they're saying something. The graphic designer is like, yeah, I'll just take it over a few pixels and, you know, we'll change the color, you know, and different things like that. And the coder's like, just give me the picture. And the C-level executive is, just make it work on the website. I don't care, you know, like what you're talking about. You're saying Greek words to me. They all speak different languages, but also they use some of the same words, but they mean totally different things. I was at a conference recently, and they were saying that the huge difference is that coders use the same words that people in the healthcare system use. So they got some people together and they're like, we're gonna write code for the healthcare system. And there kept being all these miscommunications because they use some of the same words to describe completely different things. So language is so complex. It's not just simply definitions. It's also, what is my history? What is my context? What are we talking about right now? And so I have this personality flaw that I say things that are true but mean. Does anybody do that? I think that's a dad thing. You just say things, you're like, I don't know why that hurts. It's the truth. I said to my son the other day, maybe you don't think this is mean. I thought it was mean afterwards, or at least the Lord told me it was mean. You know, he's playing sports. He's doing a great job. He's a great athlete, but he's lazy, you know? He's just kind of walking around out there, you know? Like, he's got so much potential. And so I told him, I said, Jonah, your sprint is as fast as everyone else's jog. So I just need you to run faster out there. I said to a friend of mine, we were talking about sports and stuff, and I saw him play like basketball or something. I was like, yeah, no, you're just not a natural athlete. That's true. He's not a natural athlete. I am not built like LeBron James. I'm never going to be a basketball player. That's just true. I've accepted that fact. But it's mean. I don't mean to be mean. It's just a fact, you know? I said to a coworker one time, I said, well, there's just no logical reason you did that. They quickly proved to me that there was. And I loved that. Not at the moment. Later on, I liked it. Anyways, I'm not that immature as I just sounded, you know, right here. I'm trying every day, you know, to temper my words. But I will just say as a side note that I do think that the Bible says that we're supposed to communicate the truth in love. I don't know that all those things I communicated had a ton of, you know, love wrapped around them. But I do think that truth is lacking in society today. Some truths just need to be spoken, even if they may be hurt. So that's a total side note. I'm going to move on from that. So context is also everything in conversations. So has anybody been in an argument with their spouse and you said something that you think is like totally normal? Like outside this conversation, if you said it, it would have been fine. But inside this conversation, it's not so fine. I found a few of these the hard way. And I just put together a short list of three things for any, you know, young men that are falling in love, and, you know, maybe you can learn from me. The first thing you should not say to your wife when you're arguing is calm down. It's like when you're in that moment, everything's backwards, you know? Like everything you say has an opposite effect type thing. I know I probably don't want to be told to calm down either. Another word is crazy. You're not allowed to say the word crazy. You can't say what you just said is crazy. You can't say what you did is crazy. You can't even rhyme with the word crazy. You shouldn't find any word that resembles the word crazy when talking to or about your wife in an argument. And I talked to somebody else. I won't say their name. But even if you think it's crazy, don't say it's crazy. And the last one is I told you so. Just never try that. Always has the opposite effect. Like, what do we think is going to happen when we've ever said that? I've said that to my kids. Well, I told you not to do that. Like, what do I think? They're all just going to have this super humble moment and be like, oh my gosh, Dad, you're right. Why didn't I listen to you? Gosh, 100% of the time from now on, I'm going to listen to you because you did tell me that. No, it's always just like, yeah, I got it. You know, it's just like that sarcastic response of like, I already knew it. You didn't need to say it. So words and language in the Bible are talked about constantly, the power of words. So I just want to go through three main areas that they are profoundly talked about. First of all, Christ himself. I probably bring up this scripture most of the time when I preach. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. And the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." So the word, the Greek word logos, is the word that is used to describe Christ himself. And this word, logos, is the Greek word literally translated as word, speech, or utterance. However, in Greek philosophy, logos refers to divine reason or the power that puts sense into the world, making order out of chaos. So Christ is described as basically meaning and order and purpose of the entire universe, and that all things filter through his very nature. His very being is the essence of life itself. But that word is word. Logos means word. In creation, Genesis chapter 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." So we have Jesus, who's described as the Word, is the very center of the universe, the very center of everything. And also the universe, how it came to be, is described as being spoken by God. This is very profound. We're finding a huge correlation between words, speaking, and language, and the universe, creation, all things, meaning, purpose, everything. Then, the Tower of Babel. This is a very interesting story. Genesis 11:1-7. It says, "At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, 'Let's make bricks and harden them with fire.' In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. They then said, 'Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world.' But the Lord came down and looked at the city and the tower and people were building. 'Look,' he said, 'the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other.'" Now, whether you believe that this story is exactly how it was, maybe you think it's an allegory. In the Bible, many times we just need to look at the purpose of the story. Look past some of the details that you wonder, how does that happen? Why would God want to do that? Those aren't the important things. The important line is, after this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. And what was the thing that he said united them the most? Is language. The ability to communicate with one another. So language is Christ himself. Language is what God used to create the very universe and everything that we see and hear. And it is also what God himself says is the great unifier between people. It is the thing that can make us capable of doing anything. Nothing can hold us back, is what he says. So are you seeing how profound language and words are spoken about in the Bible? And this is huge. I mean, Jesus, he spoke to storms. He didn't think them away. He spoke to them. He spoke to demons. He didn't think them away. He spoke to them. We find so many instances in the Bible. Proverbs says that the power of life and death are in my tongue. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Wow. The word of God. When God speaks, he creates things. When God speaks, he cuts through the very nature of our hearts and our souls into our deepest desires. God's word is powerful. Has God ever spoken to you? Have you ever heard the voice of God? Doesn't it sound like no other voice you've ever heard? It brings peace and life in ways that somebody else talking to you can't. It's him alone. When the God speaks, it does things. So we were on vacation recently. So we're switching gears here. We've established the power of language and words. Now we're going to switch gears to my random thoughts that I had on vacation, okay? We're in California, and we have an Airbnb, and there's a bathroom upstairs, and there's a bathroom downstairs. And I walked in the bathroom upstairs, and, you know, I'm, like, getting ready for the day, and I looked in the mirror, and I was like, you know, I look pretty good, you know? Like, I got a tan. Like, I don't see a lot of wrinkles, you know? I don't see a lot of, like, blemishes, you know? Feeling good. I went downstairs, drank some coffee, hang out with the kids. I go in the bathroom downstairs, and I was shocked. I was like, is that what I look like? I'm like all pasty white skin. I'm like, what are these wrinkles by my eyes? I was like, look at all this hair on my neck. I was like, oh, I look disgusting. What was the difference between these two bathrooms? Well, the lighting, okay? You ever walk in a bathroom that has nice warm lighting, you know, like, it's not oppressive. Like, I walk in some places, they have the fluorescent lights on. I'm like, oh, I feel oppressed. Just turn these off. Let's get some nice lighting going on in here. So the one upstairs had that nice warm light, that incandescent bulb, you know? You go to the store. I now have light switches that you can pick the temperature you want. Like, they were at Costco. I don't even know this. It's like dark magic. Like, there's a switch on the side, and you just pick the color temperature, which I love because I hate when you switch a light bulb and, like, one's different than the rest. Like, five of them are warm and there's one cool white one. Well, the downstairs bathroom had those really bluish white lights. And it exposes everything. I mean, like, shows you what you really look like. Or that's what I thought, you know. It's just like, is that what I really look like? And so then I went on this journey of, like, well, what the heck do I actually look like? Like, do I look like the upstairs bathroom? Or do I look like the downstairs bathroom? And God spoke clear as day to me, something that I had never thought of before. He said, how you look depends on the light source. And I was like, wait, so there's not one way I look. There's more than one way I look, depending on the light that I'm exposed to. And this took me down a pretty deep mind tunnel to understand some things. And I was reminded of some things from grade school. You know, you learn how many colors are in light. Anybody know how many colors are in light? Seven. We see these colors, Roy G. Biv, you know, that's what that stands for. Those are the colors of a rainbow. And a rainbow is, you know, basically the moisture in the air slows the light down enough to where you can see the colors in light, which is the same process of a prism. If you've ever seen a prism or you've seen a Pink Floyd album, you know, light coming in the side of it, color coming out the other side of it. This is amazing, okay? Just take my mind tunnel. We're just going to go down a rabbit trail here, okay? Seven colors in light. Light is the very first thing that God created. He said, let there be light. Seven is a very symbolic number in the Bible. It stands for wholeness, completeness. Seven is all over the Bible. God creates tons of patterns in nature and in the spiritual world and in the physical world. And seven is one of those patterns. In the book of Revelation, you'll find that there's seven churches. There's seven lampstands. There's seven stars. There's seven everything. Everything's sevens. There's 7 days in creation. Seven defining things that God does, and then he rests on the seventh. Seven is all over the Bible. And so when I all of a sudden realized that there's seven colors inside of light, I was like, and white, you know, I'm not trying to just give you a science lesson here, but, you know, if you don't know this, white is a combination of all of those seven colors. Pure white light. So pure sunlight has all of the colors, wholeness is white. Whereas black is something that accepts no light. It rejects all of the light. It also absorbs the heat. It really absorbs all of the light. It doesn't reflect it. That's what white does. Sorry, I just wanted to be scientifically correct on that. I'm not a scientist. Don't question me about this later. I'm telling you absolutely everything that I know. But the point is there's seven colors inside of light. And so all of a sudden, I'm putting together this revelation. I keep going down the rabbit trail of if there's seven colors in light and my appearance changes based on my light source, then I have to ask myself, what is my light source? What is shining upon my life? Because my life will look different depending on the light source that I choose. Now, these light bulbs in these bathrooms, they're putting off different kinds of light. They're skewing how much of this and how much of that. But if I'm getting the pure light of the Lord, it's a pure white, which also seven being symbolic of wholeness. I'm not whole unless I am getting the fullness of God reflected upon my life. So then I took that a step further to ask myself, if words are so powerful, if words are at the very center of the universe itself, Christ, meaning, purpose, light, all of these things, if the word of God is powerful than any sword or any power or any principality or any darkness, if it is that powerful, the word of God, then I have to ask myself, what words have I allowed to be spoken over my life to define my significance? Because the measure of your significance and purpose is directly tied to the words you have allowed to define your significance and purpose. So I have to ask, what words have I allowed to be spoken over my life? I love some of the things shared in the huddle this morning. It's all about the word of God, actually. It was really profound to me. Dennis, he did our little our talk, and he talked about the word of God. And John gave a testimony about speaking the word of God over our lives. And I'm preaching on the word of God. I think it's so profound when the Spirit of God speaks to people. We haven't talked. We don't know what each other's going to say. But the Spirit of God is saying something. So the Spirit of God wants you to hear this morning. He wants to speak over your life. And this is actually what I love the most about that song, Better Word, is it says some profound things. It says that basically Christ puts his robe on you. So think about this, okay? Here's me, flawed Matt, living in the downstairs bathroom, okay? And I'm looking at myself, and I see all my flaws. I see all my insecurities. I see all my issues. I see my past, and I see my stressful future or whatever. And all of a sudden, but that's the light being reflected off of me. But see, this is the beauty of the difference between the law and grace, okay? So now we're talking about Jesus here, okay? So before the law, it shined a light upon you and exposed all of your sin. That's what the law did. That's what it was designed to do, to show you how broken, that you did these things wrong, you need to do these things right. All of a sudden, think about that light being reflected off of me. All of a sudden, Christ, he comes. He puts his robe of righteousness on me. Now it's being reflected off. It's not me. It's not my flaws. It's not my past. It's not my sin. It's Christ. It's Christ that the light is reflecting off of. So when God looks down at me, he doesn't see me. For in Galatians, it says that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives. The old man is gone. The new man is here. So what does God see when he looks down at me? He doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. And Jesus is the essence of all wholeness, perfection, glory. That's what he sees. So I just want to say like a couple, I'm ending here. I know Josh normally has everybody like stand. You don't have to stand. I don't steal his thing. But I just want to ask, what voice is louder in your life, the voice of the Holy Spirit or the voice of your inner critic? Because the Holy Spirit, if you say, oh, I'm just broken, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says the old man's dead and the new man is risen. You say, well, I just feel so heavy. I feel so burdened. Ah. The Bible says, come to Jesus. He says, give me your burdens, for my burden's light, and I'll carry you with you. You say, well, I'm sick. I'm sick mentally. I'm sick physically. Ah. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the word of the world, a more powerful word. And it will overcome the darkness. It says that the light goes into the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend or overcome it. So if you are saying, I'm sick, I'm wrong, I'm sinful, I'm broken, you're letting the wrong light shine on you. You're not realizing that you're wearing the robe of Jesus, that you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and that it's no longer you that's seen in the light, it's Christ that's seen in the light, that you are made whole in him. So as we're going into this Holy Week, I just ask you, start to challenge those words. When your mind starts to come at you, it starts to tell you this, oh, you're not good enough. Who's ever heard this? God doesn't hear your prayers. You haven't done enough good things. You haven't prayed long enough. Do you remember what you just did a few minutes ago? Do you remember what you said to that person? Do you remember what family you're from? Do you remember the generational things that are in your family? Well, I just rebuke cancer and anybody that says, well, my grandparents had it, so there's a chance I'll have it. No, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of my even bloodline. You say, well, my parents were like that, so I just got that from them. No, no, no. It's not you anymore. It's Jesus. You're shining the wrong light on your life. The Lord wants to redeem everything in your life. And you say, well, I'm just not there. That feels way far off. Well, then you're on the same journey as me and everybody else. Jesus said that we're trying to get heaven to come to earth. I believe that we are all at different levels of that. How much heaven is in my life and how much is earth? I have to say, I feel like a lot of earth sometimes. Like I need more heaven. But that is the journey we're all on, is to more and more every day to say that I want to have, maybe you just put that robe on one arm and you're just like, yeah, that's redeemed. I believe God redeemed that thing. But tomorrow, put your other arm in. Oh, God redeemed that thing too. Until at the end of your life, maybe I won't even be there by the end of my life, but I hope that I get to a place where I just know that every part of my life is redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's profound. That's something for us to walk out this week. So as you go out of here, you go to back to normal life. You're at your job. You're dealing with kids. You're dealing with, you know, stressful situations in your family. You're dealing with these things. And a lie, something that's not the word of God, comes at you. Take that thing and say, no, the Bible says this. And that's why it's so important to know what the Bible says, because it's your identity. It's who you are now. You're no longer this person that you see in the downstairs bathroom. You're a new person. Walk upstairs to the upstairs bathroom. And you're like, oh man, all this got smoothed out. I don't even know how this happened, you know? I'm like a different person. I just walked upstairs. That just came to me. You just got to walk upstairs, you know? So I just challenge you. Challenge those thoughts that want to come and they want to steal your identity as a son and a daughter and a redeemed person in Jesus. That's who we're celebrating every single week, but especially this week. So challenge those things. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for every person in this room. God, they are yours. You made them unique, beautiful, powerful. God, and you want to redeem every part of their life. God, I pray that our hearts would be open, that our minds would see clearly who you are and what you want to do in us. God, we hold nothing back. I pray that if there's anybody here that is just holding themselves back from the Lord, you're scared, you don't understand, what do I need to give to him? God, reveal it to them. God, we want to hold nothing back from you. We just want to look like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.